Okay, have a seat. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. God's here. You're here. We're here. God is wanting to blow our Sunday morning concepts of church out of the water. He's not called us just to be a church that meets together and just does stuff to fulfill a program or to fulfill week in, week out agendas. We're here for something much greater. We're here to see God's purposes worked out on the earth. In this community, in this region, in this 25-mile radius, in this nation and the nations beyond. God has called us to be an unusual people, a peculiar people.
Amen.
We're not here just to do church, to have church, and to just go with the status quo. We're not here just to fulfill a kind of religious way of living, doing a religious kind of lifestyle and doing the kind of things that so many people can do and bolt God onto their life and have a Christian part to their life and then the rest of their life. And we're going to look through a couple of chapters in Chronicles here and just bring out a few things that are going to highlight and build on what Pastor Colin was saying a few weeks ago about the call upon us to be a people of faith, a people of love, a people of holiness, a people of worship, a people of prayer, and a people of power. That's the call, and the vision is to fulfill that call. But in fulfilling that call, there is going to be an outworking of that. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a people of faith, a people of love, a people of holiness, a people of worship, people of prayer, people of power? What does it mean in practice? It's not just so that we have a better way of living as an individual. It's not just so that we can feel good about ourselves and say, well, I'm fulfilling the call that God has placed on us. The vision is to fulfill the call, but the reason the call is there is because God has made us an unusual, peculiar people, not to be weird, but that we don't live with a natural mindset that we're just here to make up the numbers.
Right.
We're not here just to fulfill some kind of religious church and way of living, but we're here to make a difference. We're here to have society be affected because what God is doing amongst us, the kind of church he's called us to be. Now, part of our vision is for the 25-mile radius. That's something God spoke about when the church began in 1992, about our local mission field is this 25-mile radius. It's not just Horsham. But we've been called to be established here, but to multiply out of here right across this 25-mile radius. And there would be one church, but many congregations or whatever in that whole area. But God wants to raise up a different kind of people, not just with us, but any church, anybody of people that is open for something different than what is taking place. Now, if we're going to find that way and continue to move in that way, then we've got to be open to the Holy Spirit in however he wants to move. And if we look through some things here in Chronicles, God is pretty angry with the nation of Israel. And he's going to judge the nation, but Hezekiah becomes king. And even at 25, it says in the beginning of the chapter that he opens the doors of the temple and begins to reestablish the people to be a worshipping people, a people centered on the purpose of God. Let's read it in chapter 29. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. Let's go on to verse 3. In the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites, assembled them in the square on the east side and said, "Listen to me, Levites. Consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of your fathers. Remove all defilement from the sanctuary." Now, it goes on the next few verses. They're quite negative about previous generations. But what we want to focus on is those first few verses initially. He reopens the temple, repairs the doors, and it says, he brought the Levites and the priests. What are they? They're the leaders, if you like, the priesthood, the leaders. And whenever God wants to restore something or move in a nation, he starts with the church. He starts with leadership, but he starts with the body of Christ. And then he begins to, as he works in the leadership, then he works in the body of Christ, then God can then turn the thing outward to bring a change in the nation. And what he says from verse 6 onwards to Hezekiah is basically that the previous generations haven't walked with God. Now, if you talk about us as the priests and the Levites, as the church, not just leadership, but the church, that God came and he said, I want you to consecrate yourselves and clear out the temple. One of the things God has been doing amongst us in the last few months is there has been a fresh consecration. God has been bringing things out into the light. God has not wanted certain things that have been going on in our lives in different ways to be carrying on. He won't settle for certain things anymore. It's like he's raising the temperature, and there's certain things we've lived with that he's saying, you're not going to live with those anymore, because there's a purpose that is so much more important than just living with what you have in your life, letting it go on and kind of tripping along. And God's coming along saying, I want to clear out the temple. Now, we are living temples. We're the living stones. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God is doing a fresh clear out in our lives at this time. He's raising us and moving us so we are a holy people. One of the things, those six things Pastor Colin was talking about. That we are a holy people. So God is having a clear out. God is defining certain things. We want to define even more what is happening in the church. But if God is going to do something in the nation, then there needs to be a consecrated holy people at the heart of that, that are living with something as a prophetic people that lives and shouts something that is different than the way society is. Now, for generations, Israel and Judah had been going against the things of God. God gets hold of somebody like Hezekiah, and he begins to restore the purpose of God and the vision for the nation that God had. Hezekiah begins to restore that and put it in place. Now, it seemed impossible. Here's one young guy amongst thousands. Generations before had not walked with God. Here's one guy. In his heart, he has, there must be a change. God has spoken about this nation. There are promises. There are things before the beginning of time that were set for this nation. And somebody has to stand up amongst the tide of opposition and say, we're going to restore the temple of the living God. So he calls, first of all, the leaders together. And he says, consecrate yourselves and clear out the temple. Then he calls the people. The people come, and there's a whole time of consecration. We haven't got time to go through it all today. But the people are then consecrated so that there's a restoring of the people of God. Now, there's a tide in our nation where things are getting worse. If you look at, not to be too specific, but if you look at different religious, other religions and their agendas, if you look at certain things within the New Age movement, if you look at different things that are going on out in society, there are agendas underneath everything that is going on. The devil has agendas in every department of life out there in society. He clothes himself to express things in a different way that looks like there's so much diversity out there that what is right and wrong, what is the way to live. But the devil has agendas behind everything and underneath everything. I'm not talking about looking for demons all over the show. What I'm saying is the devil has agendas behind everything to oppose the purposes of God on the planet. That's right. The New Age movement, for example. At the heart of the New Age movement, they talk about the return of the Christ. Sounds interesting when you first read up about it, but they talk about the return of the Christ. There's all sorts of energies involved in that and stuff, but they're talking about, and at first it's like, what do they mean by that? But as you look into it, they're talking about the spirit of Antichrist. Now, we would probably see the New Age movement as maybe, you know, the more hippie kind of laid back, you know, bit weirdo sort of thing out there, and you know, whatever. But actually, underneath it, there is a very strong demonic spirit involved. Behind certain religions, there are strong demonic spirits at work. Now there's a war going on. And God has called us. Forget every other church for a minute. But we, as Pastor Colin said, we've got to be faithful to the call that God has placed upon our lives. Now, why do we talk about having a revival spirit? A revival spirit isn't just a spiritual ether, a spiritual atmosphere, a dynamic that is there somewhere that blesses us as the people. Hezekiah had a revival spirit. It was to revive the temple of God or the presence of God, but it was to see a restoration in the nation. It was to change and bring back the laws of God, the purposes of God, into a nation. And that's part of the call that we have. As with a revival spirit, it's not just your kind of holiness and righteousness and praise and worship kind of things that we would associate with it. There's actions, there's lifestyle, there's a whole dynamic of thinking, of attitudes, of motivations, all of that that is part of having a determination, a breakthrough kind of spirit. A heart and a mind that says, I'm not just here for my own life and what I want. I'm here to serve the purpose of God. Now, it's easy to say that, but the purpose of God isn't just that we're blessed and we do a few things here and there. It's to be part of a body that believes what God has said and dares to believe that God wants to work through it to bring a change in the 25-mile radius, in the nation and beyond. It's us lining ourselves up, our spirit, our life up with the purpose of God. And this guy Hezekiah, against all the tide of thinking, lifestyle, of the way the nation worshipped at that time, said, we're going to restore the temple of God. Let's clear it out. Let's bring the people and let's get consecrated. At the heart of that, if we look through in verses 25 through to 30 in that chapter, it talks about praise and worship. It talks about the spiritual kind of dynamic. And it talked about he established the musicians, or got the music. Let's read it. That'd be a better way of doing it. Verse 25. He stationed the Levites in the temple of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres in the way prescribed by David and Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet. You know, David had 4,000 musicians. In a pretty big stage for that lot. 4,000 musicians, imagine organising that lot. Can't hear myself. Oh, you're too loud. Can you turn me down? I need a bit more of my voice in the monitor. Can you turn it up, please? Well, there's 4,000 singers here. You know, of course you're not going to hear yourself, you know. I can't hear the drums. He's too far away. Well, so what? Anyway, we're, you know. I mean, imagine that there has to be 4,000. Imagine sound checking 4,000 people playing instruments and singing and all that lot. You know, we got a sound check for 3 weeks before the meeting starts. If you can. We think we have a bit of a hassle sometimes with 20, 30 people on the stage trying to sound check. Imagine having 4,000. Let's just read a couple of other bits. So the Levites stood ready, verse 26, with David's instruments and the priests with their trumpets. Hezekiah gave the order to sacrifice the burnt offering on the altar. As the offering began, singing to the Lord began also, accompanied by trumpets and the instruments of David, king of Israel. The whole assembly bowed in worship while the singers sang and the trumpeters played. All this continued until the sacrifice of the burnt offerings was completed. When the offerings were finished, the king and everyone present with him knelt down and worshipped. King Hezekiah and his officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness and bowed their heads and worshipped. Then they dedicated themselves, or that's part of the dedication. Part of the call upon our lives is to be a worshipping people, but there's a purpose for that worship. You see, the prayer, the worship, the word, it's all part of the spiritual strength. And it's all part of the spiritual purpose. So praise and worship isn't just something we do because we do it to worship the Lord. There's a purpose to do with the call as to why we praise God and to why we worship God. in the way that we do and how we want to see the whole thing continue to develop, increase and become even more powerful and even more diverse, from the most intimate encounter with God to the what we would seem as the far end of the extreme, to having like a warring spirit where there is such a sound of war in the music, in the singing, in the congregation, in the sound of what is happening in the spirit here, because it's to do with breakthrough for the nation. It's to do with establishing the purpose of God in this area and in the nation. We're not here to do things in a certain way for people to like or to have preference. There's certain things in the spirit. Now, we need to understand there's spiritual things, and we need to line up our understanding to that spiritual thing that we're doing and why we're doing it the way we're doing it. But an openness in our hearts and spirits that when we come together, there can be the most intimate encounter with Jesus. Or sometimes it can be the most warring environment. The sound, the intensity, not just in a praise song, but in terms of what is going on in the spirit, which can flow into prayer and prophetic dimensions, all kinds of things. We're talking about just flowing with the spirit. But we're not just talking about meetings. We're talking about the kind of spirit that we have. Because the spirit that we have will determine things in here, will determine things out there, will determine things in your home, in your work, whatever environment you're in.
Yes, come on.
It's not about having a great, powerful meeting. We're talking about the spirit that we have on the inside of us. And the kind of spirit that we have on the inside of us is a revival spirit. It is not just a church or religious spirit that says, well, I'll go to this church and I like this, but I don't like that. I'll get involved a little bit or a bit more. God has called us to be a revival people. That means we give our lives 100% to the purposes of God. There's some verses relating to prayer here. That when they prayed, it said God heard them and he moved quickly. It wasn't about having a prayer meeting. It was about the people coming back and consecrating themselves to God and God unleashing something fresh from heaven, not just into the temple, but into the nation.
Yes, yes, amen.
Yes, yes. He said there's all kinds of opposition, accusations that will come against us individually or as a church. And they will only intensify and increase. You see, the more we step up and say yes to the things of God, the more we step into, if you like, dynamics of the Spirit or dynamics of the call of God, the purpose of God on our lives as kingdom faith, we step up into something where there's a lot more at stake in the Spirit. And we'll have to be more determined to contend and to pray, to break through, to live, to do whatever, to see the scale of what God is talking about. What, even watching this week on the news, you know, this to do with the Lib Dems and all the leadership thing in there. What's one of the messages that has been coming across? It doesn't really matter what people do in private, it's the way they lead that's important. I mean, there's no concept of real leadership there. That you can live and do what you like in your own private life, but then as long as you lead everybody in the right way. Well, however you live your life privately, that will start coming through publicly, because whatever you think, whatever you live, whatever your lifestyle is, you're going to start opening that up and say, well, we need to make a law for this, a law for that, and change this and change that. There can't be a separation.
That's right.
And you see, you pray, it's like, God, you know, we've got leaders in our land, people who are leading, that don't understand true leadership. As if we can differentiate private and public. But you can see how the whole nation's thinking. Well, that's not, I mean, obviously a lot of people wouldn't agree with that anyway. certainly by some of the phone calls I heard coming in one radio program. But you can just see the way society thinks. Now it's interesting when we go into chapter 31 here. We're skipping through this morning because we need to pray. Look at verse 27 first, just before at the end of chapter 30. The priests and the Levites stood to bless the people, and God heard them, for their prayer reached heaven, his holy dwelling place. God. That's the kind of prayer we want. That when we pray, our prayer goes right into the holy dwelling place, and he hears us. But then look what follows. When all this had ended, the Israelites who were there went out to the towns of Judah, smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles. They destroyed the high places and the altars throughout Judah and Benjamin and in Ephraim and Manasseh. After they had destroyed all of them, the Israelites returned to their own towns and to their own properties. After that consecration, after that kind of allowing God to deal with them as a people in a fresh way, they didn't just have a great spiritual dynamic. It says they went right throughout the whole nation and they started smashing the sacred stones, cutting down the Asherah poles, destroying the high places and the altars throughout Judah and Benjamin and these other areas. And it was only after they'd done that they then went back home for a cup of tea to chill out and relax and watch Arsenal get thrashed and knocked out the FA Cup. There's one thing you can guarantee this season, Arsenal are going to lose, right? But what are we talking about? See, that's the kind of people God has called us to be. That we're here to allow God to work in us, deal with us in whatever way he wants to, so that the spiritual life, the spirit that we have, is determined by him and what we're here for. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit. If anybody else has got a mobile, if you could turn it off, that'd be great. We got some things happening over the next few months. Some prayer weeks. We've got a 2-week prayer week. We've got a prayer week next month in February. We've got a 2-week one at the beginning of May. We've got another one in July. It's not that they're the focus of prayer, because God wants to build a momentum of prayer. And it's not just so that we're praying more, and it's not just to pray about a few things so that we're covering what we're doing. We're praying because of the call upon our lives as a church. We're praying because God has, in his wisdom, has given the power of prayer as a way of establishing the victory for his purposes. It's not man that's come up with the idea of prayer. God has given prayer as a power for us to operate in, which is to do with releasing the purposes of God. So prayer isn't fulfilling a program of something. It's not something that we should do. It's not like prayer isn't something that is on the calendar and in the church thing that, and if we fancy going, let's go. I mean, it's getting us out of church meeting, prayer meeting mindset. See, prayer is an essential aspect of who we are as a church to do with the call. Why is God wanting to increase certain things? Because God is wanting us to step up in his purposes to another level. Therefore, everything has to step up with it. The consecration, daily, weekly, ongoing. The whole spiritual dynamic. And that's not just the meters. I'm talking about the kind of spirit that we have. The prayer. The dynamic of that. The purpose of that. What it's for. The focus of that. The intensity of the prayer. All linked in with the call. And we don't just pray so that we're more blessed. We don't just pray so that we see a few more things happening. God has called us here to contend for the destiny of our nation. And that sounds massive to say that. And we know that. But yet, that's what God has said. That's part of what we're about. Therefore, the kind of spirit that God puts in us has those dimensions of faith that believe for a nation.
Yes. Yes, amen.
Dimensions of worship that are to do with not just having a great atmosphere and environment, but are to do with a nation and the spiritual dynamics of what is happening in a nation. The praise and worship was key in the nation here in Israel at the time because it helped to restore people's focus and heart on God. To be a people of praise, to be a people of worship, lying down before God. It was part of the consecration to praise God and to worship God. To be a worshiping people was part of the consecration. It was part of the dealings of God. How God dealt with their hearts and worked in their hearts. When we give ourselves in true worship, God works in our hearts. He deals with our hearts. But the result of that is they went right throughout the nation. Pastor Colin had a vision in the prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago. And it was of an overview of the nation. And as we were praying for the nation at the time. And we said, everybody, you know, in your mind's eye, just oversee, you know, look over the nation, let's pray. And as he was praying, he saw this vision. And there were eruptions of praise all around the nation. Just erupting, you know, in different places, different cities and towns. And as the kind of the vision drew down to this area, the southeast, it was a bit cloudy at first, but then the cloud went and he said it was like there was just eruptions of praise all over the place. But wherever those eruptions of praise happened in the southeast, it was like wherever they then went into the rest of the nation, eruptions of praise came out of those places where the seeds of what happened in this around this region went into whatever part of the nation, eruption happened there. You see, there's spiritual talk and spiritual understanding that God has and sees that are just way beyond the natural mind. That what we do when we come together has a lot more ramifications than just a bit of praise and worship and a bit of preaching and, you know, what's happening next week in the church kind of thing. And was it good this morning? Did I like it? Or, you know, whatever. But we're here for the purpose of God. As we read a bit further in this chapter, it goes through the contributions for worship. And from verse... Well, let's just read from verse 4 onwards. It says, he ordered the people living in Jerusalem to give the portion due the priests and Levites so that they could devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, oil and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. The men of Israel and Judah who lived in the towns of Judah also brought a tithe of their herds and flocks and a tithe of the holy things dedicated to the Lord their God. And they piled them in heaps. Imagine that. Bringing all their stuff and they just piled it all up. The first fruits, animals, herds, finances, belongings, possessions, all sorts of stuff. They just heaped this lot up. Imagine a load of sheep heaped up. I don't know. Maybe they, I don't know if they did that. Chuck them all in a heap over there. Where's the sheep heap? It's over there. They began, listen, verse 7. They began doing this in the third month and finished in the seventh. It took 4 months to bring it all. Is he going to talk about money? Yes, he is. When Hezekiah and his officials came and saw the heaps, they praised the Lord and blessed his people Israel. Hezekiah asked the priests and Levites about the heaps, and Azariah, the chief priest from the family of Zadok answered, since the people began to bring their contributions to the temple of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and plenty to spare because the Lord has blessed his people and this great amount is left over. Wow. Hezekiah gave orders to prepare storerooms in the temple of the Lord and this was done. Then they faithfully brought in the contributions, tithes and dedicated gifts and so on and so on and so on. And then they, if you read through, they started distributing things in different ways relating to what things were happening. Now, we had quite, I don't know, about 15 months ago, we had a Sunday morning where tithing was spoken about and how that everything is the Lord's. And he lets us steward what he puts into our hands and our lives through whatever work and whatever form. But that the first 10% of that, he said, that's mine. You don't have an option on what you do with the first 10% of what comes your way, financially and everything. And he says, that first 10% is mine. You don't choose what shall I do with it or what shouldn't I do with it. You bring it into the storehouse and you put it in there because that's part of then what happens to that finance to go out and do various things to do with the purpose of the kingdom, the vision, the call, all that kind of thing. And so these guys were bringing not just finances, but herds and flocks and possessions, all kinds of things, because something had happened in their hearts where it wasn't just about making the church rich or the temple rich. It was about restoring the purpose of God to the nation.
Yes. That's right.
Now, it's interesting. In doing this, bringing the tithes and the various other things, it said they had more than enough for what they had to pay for. There was loads left over there to build storehouses to store this lot so that then they could then go and distribute it in whatever way they needed to. In relation to God wanting to restore the nation and bring it back to its purpose. Now, God is wise. Is he not? And he knows that if we, the 10% of what we earn, this is before tax, if we tithe that and put that into the house, there will be more than enough to do everything that needs to be done. You see, it's not a mindset of, oh, we have to pay for this and that. That 10% is God's. It's not ours saying we're paying for something. The tithe, the 10%, is his. There's no option on that. And it's actually brought into the storehouse. There were other offerings and gifts and other things that were brought in also to distribute out. And it's interesting when you look in Acts chapter 6, with those six or seven guys, the seven guys that were asked to distribute food, everything was brought centrally. All the people's offerings and of whatever it was, money or food or clothing, whatever it might have been in the early church, everything was brought to a central point, and then there were those responsible to then distribute that out to where the need was. And I believe God wants to challenge us afresh this morning in different ways. One of those is financing to do with tithing. About that first 10% of what we earn before tax is God's. That's his. There's no issue with what do we do with it. We bring that into the temple, into the storehouse. 10% of all the income that Kingdom Faith receives. This is 10% of everything that comes into Kingdom Faith. 10% of that, is it right? 10% we put into the mission fund. So 10% of all the income goes into the mission fund, right? There's a lot of other money on top of that that is given out to mission in different ways. But 10% of all the income through the life of the church and all the different things that happen during the year, faith camp, all the different stuff, 10% goes into the mission fund, and that all that money then goes towards mission in different ways, whether it's locally to do with specific things that are not to do with paying for stuff ourselves. It's to do with reaching people through to the region, the nation, and other nations. It all goes out in ministry ways, okay? But actually, when you think 10% of that, then you add on other amounts that are doing other things. There's a lot more than 10% of the money that goes out to do all this stuff. Because one of the things is, if even on a level, kingdom faith level, everything we get is the Lord's anyway, and it's got to be for the purpose and for the vision. But we want to make sure that the first fruits of what does come in directly goes to specific mission things that God has called us to be doing. And that we're responsible for what we do with that finance. I mean, all the money effectively is to resource stuff to go out there. But it says here that when everybody tithed and gave, there was more than enough. What I'm not saying this morning is everybody's got to give more. That's not what I'm saying. But as part of being consecrated and as part of what God was doing in the nation, tithing was one of the things that got restored. And so we need to just, if you don't tithe, then you need to look at your finances, because that first 10% actually belongs. You don't have an option as to what you do with it. It belongs to God. It's His. And you bring that and you bring it into the storehouse, into the temple. And then that gets used for all the various things. And then God might put on your heart at different times to put offerings in or whatever towards specific areas, specific projects or outreach things and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure God does that with all of us in different ways. But you see, what did they do? They brought all of their life, everything they are, because they realized their finances, their produce, their fruitfulness, everything they had was to do with what God was then doing with their lives. That it wasn't like they had a separate life over here and then this is another life to do with the church or the kingdom or whatever. God knows, and He places the right people in the right places, that when we have the right order financially, there's enough to do everything at that time that God wants to do. Amen. It's nice and quiet this morning. Talking about my wallet. Oh. We're funny over here, aren't we, about finances in England when we talk about money. It's great. Jesus talked a lot about money, didn't he? Apart from the kingdom, the next thing he talked about the most was cash, wad, dosh, money, euros, pounds, dollars, shekels, all that lot. Because he knew that was he was going to talk about the kingdom, but then he knew the closest thing to people's hearts was money. So Jesus thought, well, let's talk about the closest thing to their hearts then, money. Because he came to touch people's hearts. Amen. Let's all stand up, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Now, what we're not saying when we read the first few verses of chapter 29 there is for us, our previous generations have not walked with God, because within the church, obviously, the previous church have walked with God and are giving a great inheritance to us. But when we talk about, if you like, our forefathers, we're talking about the nation. And God is restoring something and working in the life of the church to bring something back to the nation. Hezekiah stood in the face of opposition when everything around in the nation, they were worshipping false gods, they were setting up Asherah poles, they were setting up altars to worship all kinds of things. Yet in the face of that, he stood up and said, it's time for the temple to be restored. It's time for God to be put back on his throne. And it's time for something now to be different than it has been for generations of time. That started with an attitude in his heart and in his spirit. That he said, I'm not going to contend for anything less than the purpose of God. Now, I'm not talking about either just becoming so hard. Because within M&A, revival spirit is such a love and compassion for people.
That's right.
I mean, look at Jesus. Man, look at his heart for people. But yet, man, when it came to dealing with sin, dealing with the devil, he did not give it any room.
That's
right. So we deal with, in spiritual terms, very hard, very strong, and very, this is what God wants. But when it comes to people, we love them. Compassion. Generosity, kindness, We go over the top in the grace of giving. Not just money-wise, but in every way. Loving, serving, giving people time. When we pray hard. When we worship, we want to worship full on. Whatever decisions we make, in line with the purpose of God, we want to make them 100%. With a conviction in our hearts. This is what God has said. This is why I'm living like I am. Because you have a spirit on the inside of you that is strong, that is determined, that has a conviction. He said, I don't want to sell for anything less than what God's purpose is for my life and to be part of this church.
Come on.
It's like there's a sound in the spirit that God wants to restore and bring back to this church.
Yes.
A warring spirit, a breakthrough dimension. Is a sound of it.
Amen.
And it's not a volume. It will probably be loud at times, but there's a sound.
That's right. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
When I was praying, you know, we know these things, but it was like there's souls at stake. There's nations at stake. There's all kinds of things at stake. And the church as a whole, we don't realize. We know we're here to make a bit of a difference and all that, but we don't realize the war that is going on for the destiny of nations. And now the church is here to actually turn the tide.
Amen. That's right.
You know, we can say, well, we shouldn't talk like that, or not too much, or, you know, aren't we being too hot, you know, gobby and all that kind of thing. In some way, man, if we don't believe it, if that's why, if we don't live for that and go for that and pray for that and believe for that and make decisions like we do and not do certain things because it doesn't fit with how God's called us to be, then man, we're not going to see any change. If we don't have a conviction in our hearts about who we are and what we're called to and why we do what we do, then we're not going to convince anybody else. Amen. We need to kick apologetic kind of attitudes out of our lives. And now the church, we don't need to apologize for being here. We need to be very professional, very organized in all the different areas of the church. Especially we relate into the world, into society, local authorities and all that. We need to be squeaky clean in the way we operate.
That's right.
Because the devil will try and use anything to trip us up. And not just a few people here, but I mean the whole church, the whole caboodle.
That's right.
And you might think, oh yeah, well, you know, one day that'll happen. There's stuff already going on that you don't need to know about. Where the enemy is seeking to not just snuff the odd person out here or there, but actually undermine the whole of kingdom faith. Why? Because at this time, God is saying it's time to step up into a whole nother gear.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
And we've got to kick out apathy and faffing around out of our lives. There's got to be such a straight determination.
Amen.
It's not about having nice lives and nice groups and nice this, that and the other. It's about having something in our spirit. Do we contend for it in prayer, in praise, in worship, the way we preach, the way we take hold of the things of God, the way we live and choose to walk in our lives, the way we relate to our neighbours, everything from the local area, what God wants to do in the 25-mile radius out into the rest of the nation, the way we relate to the churches that want to relate to us, the kind of leaders we're developing, everything has got to be so focused.
Come on, that's right. Yes, amen.
But yeah, amongst all that, one of the things the local authority said to us a few years ago, we don't understand you guys. Because on one level, you have so much zeal and so much kind of, but yet the way you work with people, like this has to do with some of the youth stuff that was going on, It's like, but yet you're so relatable to people. I thought, great.
Yes, amen.
The day the world can suss us, that's we need something to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
And they could see, man, you guys are zealous, and you're like, in one sense, quite over the top with what you believe, the way you believe what you believe. But yet at the same time, you spend time with people, you love people, you reach out to this age group of people, and you're working with these people. And in their mind, it just didn't add up. That kind of Christianity is not relatable to this kind of thing. But yet in their mind, it's like, man, you have such a strong conviction, but yet you're so down to earth. I thought, brilliant. And that's how we, you know, let's not say, well, if we go too, we're going to become unrelatable. Rubbish. The more we follow and get into the purposes of God, the more down to earth we're going to be in people's lives. Amen. Come on, let's just close our eyes. We need to pray because we need to finish, but we need to give first as well. There's a few other things we've got to do. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that you have put a revival spirit inside of us. Father, I thank you. You've called us those six things: faith, love, holiness, worship, prayer, power. All that lot, Father. That's the call. But Father, we know there's so much to that and what that means. And Father, we thank you. You put a revival spirit on the inside of us. That we don't just want to be a conventional church going through the motions of church life and doing this, that, and the other. Father, we're here to see this nation not just change, but save, Father. We're here to see this nation come back to the purposes of God, like Hezekiah stood up where everything said something different. And he stood up and said, it's time for God to be restored in the nation. And Father, I thank you that you are saying to us, it's time. You want to be restored in this nation, and you're looking for people who are dare to believe it, live it, speak it, and do whatever it takes.
Yes.
Father, I just continue to pray, as you know I have been, that you would just break us out of every church restriction and mindset, the ways of doing things. Father, I know last year was like a honeymoon. You were just revving everything up without really changing a lot. Just to open up our hearts for something to be different. But Father, I thank you. You're about to step into kingdom faith.
Yes.
And you're about to do things that will really be different and very challenging.
That's right. Yes.
Because we don't want a revved up thing of what we've had already. And that's what we've got at the moment. And Father, I thank you you're about to step in. Because the whole thing about being a revival people is just something completely different than just having a great church or having revved up meetings and slightly different covenant groups and just different things here and there. Father, you don't want us just to tweak stuff. Father, I thank you that this year is a make or break year. For us to respond to the call, to step up in a fresh way. And Father, I just pray for every person here that you would find every heart, every life open. Every one of us, whatever age we are in the church, from the youngest through to the oldest. You would find us ready, available. Just freshly consecrated. Just pray for a moment quickly. God, I just bring everything under your lordship. Consecrate my life afresh right now. My mind, my heart, my attitudes, my body, my home, my car, my finances, my family. Everything, God, I bring it under your lordship. I consecrate to you afresh right now. It is all yours. I'm here for your purposes to see this area, this 25-mile radius, this nation changed and saved. To see you restored in this land, which seems so miles away at this moment, Father. But yet, that's what we choose to live, to believe, to go for, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If we could have all the stewards ready with the offering, we're going to give to the Lord today. Now, we purposely had the offering at the end. Not just so that you give more money, but we need to give with the right spirit. We need to give with the right spirit. We need to know why we're giving. We don't just give to the Lord because that's what we do on Sunday, that we pop it in once a month or you put a bit in each week or whatever it is you do. We need to understand the spirit of why we give. The spirit of giving, it's not, oh, well, I put my money in because that's what I do. The 10% of what you give, what you put in, this is like, God, this is yours going into your storehouse so that it is used to extend the work of your kingdom through us as a church, whether it's locally, in the nation and beyond. There's loads of other finance that comes in outside of what we give as a body. And that will always continue. We have to for what God's called us to. God hasn't called us just as a congregation to sustain everything financially, because what is going on is, in one sense, is far greater than what we could give as a body. But that's all part of God's purpose.
That's right. Yes.
Because personally, I believe any church that's moving in the things of God, its outgoings will be far greater than what it can itself just give with the people there. That there has to be a faith dynamic and dimension that has to trust in God and see God provide way beyond what the people themselves could give. God just says, you give what you've got and I'll supply other stuff. And that doesn't mean we don't give, because God says, you give what you have, what is in your hands, and I'll give what is in my hands. Now there's other dimensions to this stuff we're not going to get into now about wealth creation. That's another thing altogether, but you put in what you have and what belongs to the Lord, and he'll put what he wants to put in to make everything else happen, to top it all up for the increase. Amen. So as we give this morning, we're going to give in the spirit, not of just giving, but in the, to do with why we're here, what we're about, to do with the vision, to do with the call, to do with the purpose, to do with why we're here. It's to do with the nation. It's to do with this region. It's to do with other nations. It's what we're part of. If we can have the band up, it'd be great. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If the guys want to start giving out the buckets because of time. But if you're somebody that isn't tithing your income, I wouldn't even go away and think about it. You think you just need to line up your will and your heart with what God wants, and just to begin to do that, and you'll see what happens in your finances as a result. If you give what belongs, what is God's, he looks after everything else.